as we continue on with our Ash Wednesday service. This year, as we go through the round robin with the local pastors, our theme this season is honest repentance. And what is honest repentance? As we dwell upon the six different themes throughout this season of Lent, and today we dwell upon purification. Please follow along if you have your Bibles or if you'd like to listen, namely on page 878 of your Blue Bible, if you would like to follow along. But this is from the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 30. And this is the well-known story about the three men in the fiery furnace, which I think many of you are quite familiar with. So let us begin with our reading this day. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men, unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The sermon for this Ash Wednesday is from the book of Daniel, chapter 3. The sermon is entitled, "Honest Repentance, Purification." Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Indeed, remember those very words, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. These were the words, the great indictment on our first parents in the book of Genesis. A result of failing to fear, love, and trust God above all things, a result of their trust in false gods rather than the one true God. A result that would outpour unto all humanity the greatest plague. And the ultimate reason why these ashes are upon our foreheads. Therefore, Ash Wednesday is a time to contemplate the severity of our sin. Indeed, sin is that severe. Of course, the world says otherwise pertaining to our sin, but no, sin is that severe. A very serious matter this is. Not simply a misstep or a mistake, but sin is indeed like an anvil that has brought chasm between God and man. This chasm, this sin, that would also lead to death, to dust. And as we look honestly and further examine who we are, and just as it was for our first parents, there is nowhere to hide. For through the law of God, in all honesty, in all humility, and with a sober heart and mind, we acknowledge sin that is ever before us. The law indeed shows us our sin. It strips us from all of our hiding places, exposing who we truly are as sinners, where our frailty, our sin condition is on full display. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and how they cannot be remedied, cannot be hidden, cannot be whisked away in hopes that they will in time vanish from our hearts and minds. No, these ashes say otherwise. They are the great stain to which we cannot clean or purify ourselves. Because we are corrupt, my friends. Completely corrupt. Through and through. But this day we are called to faith. We are called to repentance. Now today on this Ash Wednesday, it's interesting because in our lectionary, we don't have the privilege to preach on this text ever. So this is a great opportunity to preach on what we know as a great Sunday school text, don't we? And we dwell upon the three faithful men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or as they were formerly known. For after the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, besieged Jerusalem, he commanded the chief eunuch to bring some noble men to him to train them in the ways of Babylon. And there, in so doing, he changed their names to, as you know, the three faithful men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here we know the well-known story, as we just read, the fiery furnace. The question is, why were they thrown in the fiery furnace in the first place? Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the image that I have made, and it will be well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the fiery, burning furnace. And who is the God that will deliver you from this? Now, this is the tension for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And boldly they stood. What faithful men they were. With a fiery furnace burning so bright, so hot. Yet they stood boldly. But in this time with King Nebuchadnezzar, it was that battle or that case between the false gods versus the one true God. This was the moment where the three could have bowed down, paid allegiance to the false god, and gone on their merry way, the way of the Chaldeans, the way of idolatry, the way of the flesh of man of darkness. They could have gone and saved their temporal life. Yet in the midst of this burning hot furnace, there we see the three faithful men say this: if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But see what they say here. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold image that you have set up. No matter what, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood in the one true faith in the midst of this fire. This enraged the king. He enraged the king that they even set this heat up 7 times more than usual. The urgency, the rage was there on full display, sending his men to throw these three faithful men into this furnace. And in so doing, what happened? Even those men who were sending Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this fiery furnace, they too were burned. Indeed, this was a trial by fire. Now, in regards to fire, as it reads in Hebrews 12, our God is a consuming fire. Fire that is of God's wrath. We see the fire throughout the Bible, whether it's Korah's rebellion in the book of Numbers, where Korah and the assembly of 250 chiefs of the congregation, they were planning to rebel against Moses. The Lord, of course, knew this, and a fire came raining down on all of them, as this fire would consume them. In the well-known story of Sodom and Gomorrah, you very well know, due to their wickedness, the Lord rained on them fire and sulfur, consuming the cities completely. Indeed, it is by fire, this fiery wrath of God, that we are reminded of the sober reality of our sin. You know, in this season of Lent, it is a penitential season. God's law, indeed, reduces us to ashes. A reminder of our own mortality, of our sin, and of the very words, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Being thrown into the fire, there Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be. They were bound. There was no escape. Right? Fire, we would assume, would consume them, even to the point of death, to the point of ashes. All for the sake of standing in the one true faith, in the name of the one true God. The question is today, how about you? Where do you stand? When you are facing trials, when you are tested, this trial by fire, where do you stand? Because we very well know the great temptation of our own false little gods. The God of self, the God of this world, the God, the list goes on and on. There are many, they are plentiful, and the mirror today is set before us. What are they for you? What do you trust? What do you cling to? What false gods do you cherish in your life this day? Because we all have them. How quickly we flee to these very false gods. And yes, in terms of false gods and our sin, we can make excuses. We can make justifications. We can convince ourselves that somehow we can purify and cleanse our consciences by the common phrase, "Well, you know, Sheldon, he's a pretty good person." Right? I mean, after all, you know, he's done good in his life. That must be worth something in terms of our sin. Maybe that'll tip the scale. And maybe that'll get Sheldon in on the right side of God. But friends, the ashes on our forehead indicate something else. The ashes remind us that no one is righteous, not even one. That we in our sin deserve the fiery wrath of God. This is what we deserve. This is the severity of our sin. Yet even now, declares the Lord in the book of Joel, return to me with all your heart. Yet even now. He is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, with fasting, weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. You know, we always think we must do something to purify ourselves. We always think that somehow we need to do something to cleanse ourselves. And the fact is, remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You know, sin is a dirty and filthy matter. That when we try to clean it up ourselves, what happens? It becomes a bigger mess. We do not have the ability to merit our way to God. Nothing we can add or subtract. Nothing we can do. This is what the ashes indicate. It is a mess. Sin is something we cannot clean up ourselves. Return to the Lord. The call to repentance. Yes, return to the Lord because He is gracious and merciful. Our Lord, in the midst of our sin, is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. In the fiery furnace, as the three were thrown into this fire, bound, inevitably they should have been turned to ashes. As we read the text this day, remember, there was the fourth man, the Son of God. That in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the king's wrath, their God was protecting them as they walked out. You would think their hair would be burning or their skin would be charred or they would be, well, stop dropping and rolling. Isn't that what we did in elementary school, right? That's what we learned. No, they were unsinged, unscathed. Not even the smell of fire was on them. And so it is for you. That in the midst of these ashes, just as our Lord was in the furnace, this fourth man protecting and rescuing them, the Lord also rescues you from these very ashes. See, the ashes on your forehead are shaped by the way of the cross. That these ashes, this shape, points to the hope that in the midst of our sin, there is the one who in that fiery furnace would rescue these three men. And so our Lord, by his grace, by his mercy, abounding in steadfast love, rescues each and every one of you by the shape of the forehead on your, or the shape of the cross on your forehead. And that is Jesus going to the cross and taking upon himself the fiery wrath of God, the cup of wrath for your sin. Indeed, this was a fiery wrath that Jesus took upon himself, a wrath that measured the cross, that measured the pain and the suffering that he endured for each and every one of you, because this is love, my friends. See, these ashes show us clearly that we need Jesus. We need rescue and pardon because we cannot do this ourselves. 2 Corinthians today reads, "For our sake, on our behalf, he made him," that is Jesus, "to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Think about that. We're sinners. We deserve nothing but condemnation. But God loves you, each and every one of you, free of charge, by sending you the only begotten Son, not only to this world, but in this world, to be your sin, to take your sin, and to die for them willingly upon the cross. That's what this shape indicates. This shape shapes you. And this shape is the grace of God. This shape is his mercy as he laid down his life for each and every one of you, bearing the cup so that you are declared righteous. You are declared righteous. You do not make yourself righteous, but you are declared righteous by the one who stood in your place, Jesus Christ, on that very cross. And there, he marks you forgiven. This is the trial by fire. The fiery wrath our Lord took, the suffering servant, that by this fiery wrath taken upon himself, you have been purified. By the blood of Christ, who washes your sin away, and by his death and resurrection, you are purified. Pure, holy, and clean. Cleansed by his very blood. And in him, the dust of death has been settled. Settled in the victory of Christ for you. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Midweek Lenten Sermon from Faith Lutheran Church in Moorpark, California. For more information, visit us on the web at faithmoorpark.com.